From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
You're listening to the Chancellor's Report on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Dave Edwards, joined as I am every month in the studio with the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mark Mone. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
And we have a special guest, although, you know, you've been here before, so maybe it's not a guest anymore. Maybe you'll become a regular. Ray Cross, the president of the University of Wisconsin
system. Thanks, Dave. It's good to be here.
Yeah, great to have both of you here today. Wanted to get you together really to talk about Governor Evers' proposed budget for 2019-2021, because in the past on this program, Mark and I have certainly talked a lot about some of the challenges of past state budgets and what that means to UWM and system. But it's a little bit different now with Governor Evers, and why don't you just give us a little bit of an outline as to what the governor is proposing?
Well, there are two major components to the governor's budget. First is the operational budget, and it comes very close to what we ask for. And he's targeted some monies in different ways than we have. But if you put it together, it's pretty close to what we ask for. We ask for about $107.5 million in new money, some of which would be performance-based funding, some of which would be capacity building. This campus here at Milwaukee had a significant amount in capacity building as well. And in addition to that, the capital side of this piece, the governor asked for, I think, overall $2.5 billion in new capital bonding funds. Our portion of that was, I think, pretty close to $1.2 billion in that range. It was a pretty sizable amount. Our ask on the capital side was about $1.9 billion, of which $1.8 billion was in the replacement, restoration and remodeling or renovation of facilities that already exist. several of those projects right here on the Milwaukee campus. So we're very pleased with what the governor has put forward, both in the operational budget and in the capital budget.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what does this mean for UWM? What is UWM's piece of the pie here?
I'll first reinforce what President Cross had said, and this is a very education-friendly budget. We're really pleased with what has been proposed. I think there's four categories of areas that are important. Number one, and probably the most important for our campus, is the compensation increase. That is going to not help close the gap, but it's going to allow us to continue to provide that recognition and reward for our employees. So that's number one. Second is, as Ray talked about, the capital budget. We have two very important projects for our campus. One is the chemistry building, and that needs to be replaced significantly. There's 3,000 students a year that go through that. It's the gateway to all our STEM, all our programs that are so foundational for the important jobs in the economy today. And that building is insufficient and close to, having significant shutdown problems. So that's the second area is the capital budget for our student union chemistry building, as well as, a Clatchy Athletic Performance Center. Third thing that's very important is that the freeze, which has been in place for 6 years and proposed to be in place for two more years for the tuition, is looking at being funded in a way that provides additional funds for us to expand our operational funding. So that's really critical. And then the final piece is the capacity building around high impact majors, the types of things that we know are necessary: nursing, engineering, computer science, some of those other pieces. So those are four very important pieces that UWM would benefit from in a great way.
So, it seems to me that for the last several budgets that I've been involved in discussing this with you, Mark, and with others, we've been talking about budgets that have not been as friendly to higher education. Put this into perspective for us, if you would, in terms of if, in fact, these increases are put into place, does that kind of make the UW system whole compared to where it was 5-10 years ago?
I don't think it does. I think that it starts us moving in that direction, but I don't think it fully restores that. At the same time, our enrollment has dropped to some extent, and that, of course, plays a major role in the amount of revenues we receive through tuition. So some of our drop is can be attributed to an enrollment decline, not just a reduction in state resources. I think it's important to note here that the governor, Tony Evers, serves on our board, did serve on our board. Mm-hmm. And so he's been a part of many of these discussions over the years. So I think there's not only is he from a superintendent of the Department of Instruction, he's on our board and understands what we've been presenting and the need in the past as it relates to both our operational budget, compensation, as Chancellor Mone referred to, as well as our capital needs. So his understanding of that, there's pretty good reason that his proposal is pretty close to what we asked for.
Mm-hmm. Can you put this into a slightly different context for me? And that is, you referenced the fact that enrollments are down, and that certainly affects your budget. But talk a little bit about how that revenue comes into UW system, and then under what mechanism is that money then divided up for the projects that Chancellor Mone's been talking about, or just, you know, Milwaukee versus Madison versus Green Bay? Give us an overview of that.
Well, to put a little humor in this, David, I think that there are people who believe that happens behind a curtain and there's some magical wand that's waved over the amount of money that's distributed. There is a formula that was established, an allocation formula that was established a long time ago, and it's been modified at least twice, once since I've been here. And that modification benefited campuses like Milwaukee. The reality is it's based on a whole bunch of factors that get combined into a more simplified formula. On the other hand, I think the other piece of our revenue, which is principally the big driver now, and that's tuition. When enrollment drops, that impacts a major piece of our revenue because that's probably out of our operating dollars, that's probably about 80% of our operating dollars as opposed used to be quite different when the state provided 60% of our expenses in terms of instruction. So I think that that has had a bigger impact, and that's the challenge in a state which has zero growth in its population. The demographics are in decline, especially for 18 to 25-year-old individuals. So that puts a lot of pressure on us. The key thing that's important there, even though our enrollment overall across the system is down from about 180,000 to about 173, which is really not that much, our graduation numbers are up. We're graduating more people than we ever have, which says a lot about the work that Chancellor Mone and his team and other folks are doing on campuses throughout the state to retain and help students graduate that start in college. And that's the key to success in terms of if you get through college, the debt you may have is a lot easier to pay off when you've got a job that's that requires a college education.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, that's a message you've been sort of harping on for a long time, that there is that value to higher education, but you have to be sensitive to the cost of the program.
Well, I want to be relentless about this issue. What President Cross is talking about is probably one of the most crucial issues facing the state of Wisconsin. It's the future talent in the pipeline for jobs today and jobs tomorrow. We know this state by 2020 will face a workforce shortage of 100,000 employees. The large majority of those have to be at a 2 or 4 year level of education for this state to continue its productivity, let alone the opportunities that we'd like to have for growing it. There is a cost to education. There's a cost, but boy, when you talk about affordability in public higher ed, we're probably one of the best bargains in the country. And so you put those things together, and this is that strong argument for investment. And I sometimes say, what state do you want to live in? And there's two meanings of that. What state do you want for our economy, for our families, for us, for individuals, in terms of the relative standing, in terms of income and quality of life? And then what state do you want to be in terms of the legacy that Wisconsin has in terms of a state that is so supportive of education? I absolutely think we're on the right path. I would go back to the previous budget of Governor Walker and tell you that that budget was actually more education friendly than probably the four biennial budgets before that. So we're on a good trend. We're on a good trajectory if we can get this budget over the fence. And that's, you know, right now, a big question.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Particularly the capital budget, and we saw what happened at the Building Commission meeting. Clearly, you know, we have a highly politically charged environment right now, and that may be the understatement of the year. President Kress, how are you focusing on that? I mean, how are you trying to convince lawmakers to look beyond the sort of political battlefront that we're seeing play out here, to convince them that they need to consider this strongly, separating the partisan element?
Conversations with members of both parties, and it is, as you suggest, a very polarized. And that's a frustrating environment to work in for the university, when you know that both parties want the university to do well. Their desire, they differ over how to do that, but they their desire is the same. And trying to help them understand the value of this, it's often difficult for politicians, legislators, and the like, who have to work in very short time frames, when what you invest in the university, it produces a long-term impact. It's not just in the next 2 years, the election cycle, but it's much longer. And that's always a challenge. So I consider myself an educator, perhaps not a good one, but that's what I do. And my biggest task is to educate people about the university so they understand why it's so important. We are the largest driver of this economy, and I will debate that with anyone. This economy succeeds according to the output and input that occurs with the university. We have a huge impact on this economy, both in attracting students. Right now, you hear the argument all the time, well, we have a skills shortage. We have a people shortage. We just don't have adequate people. And we have to get them the right skills and knowledge. I'm not arguing that, but we just don't have enough people. We are the best magnet to attract individuals from out of state. And with zero population growth, that's the only place we're going to add people. And if this economy is going to grow at the pace it should grow, that we would all like it to grow, it needs more people. Basic economics.
So on the local university side, I know that UWM has been working very closely. We talked just last month on this program about in partnerships with corporations and industries in the community. I mean, that has to be part of the strategy then to convince lawmakers that this is a critical issue.
I think you're right, Dave. I don't think, you know, if I can put a sharper point on President Cross's point, look at any strong economy. And you have at the heart of it strong talent production, strong research and development. You've got great partnerships with industry and academe. That's necessary. And I talk about this whether it's in Boston, today in Pittsburgh, what's going on in Silicon Valley, what we know in Austin, Texas, but also in Milwaukee in terms of the types of partnerships. One partnership, one example, is what we're doing with Northwestern Mutual Data Science Institute in terms of working with Marquette University to strengthen the talent pipeline, to solve applied problem solvings around data science, and to really create much more of a tech talent hub. That's the critical types of things that partnerships that universities can do, especially when you've got the research standing that we've got. The partnership with Rockwell, Microsoft, many other companies in the region around connected systems. You put those two together, and that's pretty critical, whether you're talking about in healthcare, manufacturing, education sector, or any other area. So partnerships are important because of the relevance, the utility. They're providing opportunities for our students, for internships, for learning, but also giving that skill set that's so necessary. Our faculty research opportunities and other things just abound in that kind of environment.
You're listening to the Chancellor's Report on WUWM. My guests in conversation are Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and the President of the UW System, Ray Cross. It strikes me also that you have another audience that you have to convince of the importance of this investment. It's not only the lawmakers. It's really the people of the state of Wisconsin who are really ponying up the money to do these kinds of things. Mark, I know, for example, at UWM, you've been very aggressive in terms of fundraising. Someone might ask, well, you're looking for this chemistry building money, why can't you just fundraise for this kind of stuff and be less of a burden on building a building on tax dollars?
You know, what's so important to recognize about philanthropic dollars is that donor intent is the key. And public universities historically have very been very challenged with respect to raising funds for brick and mortar. It's just not done routinely. And of our capital campaign, and we call that capital campaign, it's actually a comprehensive funding campaign around, you know, Made in Milwaukee, Shaping the World. Two-thirds of that is around student support, scholarships, grants, the types of things that really engage students. Another roughly 30% is really allocated toward research. So the types of activities for endowed professors and opportunities for summer support, graduate students, things like that in the research area. And the final area is around community engagement, which there's not a lot left when you add those other numbers up. When you talk about capital opportunities, and we've talked with donors, you have one exception where you have the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center, where the donor said, we're going to provide an endowment, but that shouldn't go for the building. We'd like the state to help with that. And so that's kind of an expectation that shows you, you know, just the type of thinking. And I think that's true pretty much across the system, where it's very difficult for capital dollars to be generated from philanthropic support. They expect, donors expect the state. This is a state institution, and that's what our taxes support. Whether you're a corporate entity and a foundation there or personal philanthropy, they really expect the state to provide that type of support. When I first came into this job in 2014 and 2015, many foundation leaders said, don't even talk to us about your capital needs. We expect, you know, we'll support that at a private university, but not in a public. So it's just, that was new to me and maybe new to your listeners as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. President Cross, you also, the system has also been dealing with a lot of headlines in recent years about the cash surpluses at the various campuses, and people have used that as an argument as to why the appropriation should not increase, that these surpluses should be spent down. Are you still focusing on that in terms of coming up with the answer to convince people, or are you reducing surpluses? What's going on there?
I think the surplus question is now in the past because that's
But it keeps coming up. It always
it's like a bad penny keeps rolling. But I think first of all, there was legitimate concern about that, not because we had too much of a fund balance, but because at the same time we were continuously raising tuition while that fund balance was growing very rapidly. So we were seeking 5.5% and 5.5% and 5.5% year over year over year when that fund balance was growing almost exponentially in a few years. So I think that's a fair criticism. But that's not happening anymore. And, of course, we're watching that and our fund balance is way down. In fact, we have less than 40 days of fund balance, operating days, and that's pretty dangerous. However, I think the point you're making, Dave, is that's always in the background when legislators or the public talks to us. Where are you hiding money? What are you doing? Gee, is this a slush fund? No, it's not a slush fund. It's a reserve or it's a fund balance. And in many cases, that is entirely designed to absorb annual cycle changes in revenues and expenses. So mm-hmm. That's a fair question, Dave.
Yeah. Chancellor Mone referenced the importance of retaining top-notch faculty, and I'm sure that's something you hear from all of the chancellors around the system. I know it's a critical issue for everyone on different university campuses, but is it at a crisis stage where good faculty members are continuing to leave for other universities?
Well, in the aggregate, I always use this analogy. When you listen to the Packers injury report in the fall and they have five or six people injured, well, it makes a whole lot different if you can say, well, that's no more than normal in a summer session before the season begins. But if that one of those people are Aaron Rodgers, it makes a big difference. So it's who you lose as faculty that really impacts a campus, particularly if they are prominent researchers or they're just one of your outstanding teachers. That makes a huge difference, and unfortunately, Milwaukee has, as have several other campuses. They've lost some of those home run hitters. At the same time, the elevation to an R1 status here at Milwaukee and the continuation of that and the efforts that we're putting in, that Mark and his team are putting in to make this a much more research-oriented institution, really and heavily in that, I think that really helps attract faculty. Going to an R1 institution wanting to do research and seeing support for that universally, I think, is an attraction. So in an aggregate, we went up to about 8% turnover in 1 year. We're back down in the 6.9 range. So somewhere between 5 and 6.5 is a norm. So we weren't in the aggregate that far out of line, but still we lost some really good faculty over the last couple of years.
Mark, I know you are doing like everything you can to keep these faculty members here and engaged in the mission of the university.
We are trying on multiple fronts and having success. But I'll make I think a couple of references and add to some things that President Cross has said. First of all, turnover is in aggregate not as meaningful as the who. And so we've been very systematic in terms of looking at, you know, from the research side, from the research production, from teaching effectiveness, you know, really trying to look at the preservation and growth in you know, the core faculty and how we've allocated merit when we've had that opportunity to really reward and send strong messages. What we've done in terms of matching offers and things like that is critical. Another important piece is our portion of the UW system funding. And with President Cross's leadership, UW-Milwaukee has never done better. We need more. There's always that particular aspect, but we represent, in terms of our portion of the funding, a growing element. So those are things that are critical. I do have concerns because as we have attained the Research One status, it is critically dependent on those 710 faculty for their continued work that they do. And I have to tell you, it's not just our faculty, but it's our staff, our administration, our students. They are nothing short of remarkable, the work that they do and what effort they put in every day, going above and beyond. We're lean, we're scrappy, and we have done a lot. I often say we punch above our weight, and I think it's so true. Very, very proud of everything that we've accomplished. We're lean. The Rockefeller Institute has looked at UW-Milwaukee, looked at top 200 research universities, and we consistently are one of the leanest universities. When the Carnegie Research One rankings came out the first time we were in there, we were number 115 out of 115 in terms of compensation for faculty. So we need to continue to move up in those areas. This recent ranking, we've actually moved up. We're no longer at the bottom of that because of some of the support that we've received. But we need to continue to move up. We can't be 112 out of 120 today. You know, we need to move that up.
I think I've heard you say that getting the R1 status is tough. Keeping the R1 status is sometimes more difficult.
It is, and we're so delighted that we got that recertified. In fact, this Friday we're having a celebration. President Cross will be there, and we've got some other folks that are going to come help join us because it's so important to send such a positive message to the campus.
And that status is important for a system.
Absolutely. It's important for this community, this region. It's important to this state. Research generates, in many cases, basic research generates applied research, which ends up impacting the economy and the businesses that operate in this region and the new businesses that research creates.
So we're almost out of time. There's so much more I could ask about this, but sometimes I like to throw in some interesting questions at both of you just to, you know, kind of get a sense of what you're working on when you're not dealing with budgets and legislatures and things like that. Mark, I know you were recently on vacation. You really had an opportunity to escape.
I had a wonderful opportunity. Unfortunately, I couldn't seize that very well because I was under the weather. I get sick every 10 years, whether I need to or not. And I was unfortunately on a bike trip and had something akin to strep throat. And it was miserable, Dave. But I'm happy to be back and trying to get on that bike as much as I can.
Cooking, enjoying winter?
Loving it. Was out some good donor friends in Colorado recently and did some wonderful creativity around some coconut chicken curry types of things.
Oh, man.
Doing some new carrot and squash soups. Reading, having a fun time. I have to read a little bit every night. I've always got fiction and nonfiction going. I recently finished Where the Crawdads Sing. That's a great fiction book. And then on the other hand, on the nonfiction side, I'm working through Dan Egan's The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. And that is one of the top books. If you're ever interested, it's up there with the 100 Years Water War and some of the other things.
Sure.
Focusing on Great Lakes history and future.
Ray Cross, what does a president of a large university system do when you're not at work?
According to my wife, not much. like Mark, I've been rereading a book that I've always enjoyed, Neil Postman, and he's written several books that I really like, and he's passed at this point. But one of my favorite books is something he wrote, "Amusing Ourselves to Death," and it's about a society that has become trivial and obsessed with minor issues. And it helps you look at your own life. What are you doing that's actually trivial? I just came back from a trip to Washington, D.C. with several legislators, and I came away from that encouraged. I didn't think I would. So that's something that I'm positive about, that well, there is hope, some hope here for resolving some of these disputes. And whether that happens or not, my optimism may be misappropriated. So,
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. It's been an interesting conversation. I hope we can get both of you back to discuss the progress being made on the budget, because certainly what we talked about today is not a done deal. It has many more chapters still to be written. But Ray Cross, president of the University of Wisconsin System, has been our guest in conversation, as has Mark Boney, the chancellor of UW-Milwaukee. I'm Dave Edwards. You've been listening to the Chancellor Report on WUWM.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.